What do you think were the top Hill stories that affected the federal bureaucracy this year?
Well, I think, you know, you really, it kind of begins and ends with what looks to be a trio of showdowns that we had this year. First, we had the almost government shutdown back in April as the two parties were kind of squaring off over spending levels for federal agencies and other aspects of the federal government. That obviously we had a deal struck about an hour before the government would have shut down for the first time since the mid-90s. We had the debt limit showdown in August, which was obviously a major issue, another high-profile, high-stakes standoff that was averted at the last minute, although with the credit downgrade that came afterwards, some people wonder if it ended up actually having a bit of a negative impact. And then just most recently, we had the payroll tax standoff, which was another major kind of feud between the two parties that ended up being averted just as the deadline was rapidly approaching. And so we're seeing the same sort of trend over and over again, but it's with a number of different issues.
But in all cases, it seems like it's the federal government and its operating budget that is somehow held hostage, or at least, you know, or in some cases, federal pay and benefits.
That's right. I mean, the notion, how much should the government be spending, where should the government be spending its money, how should it be spending it, has kind of been central to all of these issues throughout the year, and it's kind of been that kind of fundamental difference between the two parties when it comes to exactly where the government's money should be going.
And it seems like that fundamental difference on party lines seems more pronounced than even in past battles. I mean, for example, the Panama Canal Treaty, you had some Republicans who were behind it, some Democrats against it, even though generally it was somewhat party lines, but much more crossover. That doesn't seem to be the case at all these days.
Right. I mean, the two parties have been pretty intractable with each other on a number of these issues. I mean, you know, it kind of is this fundamental position about how large of a role should the government be playing, how much money should it be spending. And in fact, you know, with the fresh crop of new Republicans that came in and helped take over the House, we're seeing, you know, some of those trenches be dug even deeper as some of the more conservative freshman members come in and have actually helped pull the leadership more to the right as they keep pushing for the issues that they campaigned on and thought they were elected in to pursue.
And it seems like the leadership has used some almost personal terms in criticizing some of those people. Does that seem to be a trend that maybe will continue, do you think, in 2012, or maybe they'll settle down a little bit?
2012 should be interesting. It's obviously an election year, and those campaigns are going to loom large on Capitol Hill over every policy issue that lawmakers have to deal with. And given that 2011 was a fairly tense year with a lot of high stakes and a lot of last-minute deals as both sides kind of dug in and fought with each other, with the campaign looming large and everyone trying to run for re-election, it's tough to see how that would change in terms of calming down. If anything, it could be ramping up as with Election Day approaching, people getting even more heightened about these issues.
We're speaking with Peter Schroeder. He's a staff writer for the Hill newspaper. Now, the omnibus bill, which recently passed, we have a budget now for 2012, and that was according to the Budget Control Act deal. Everyone had agreed on the bottom line ahead of time. But that means the president needs authority to raise the debt ceiling to fulfill that budget. Is that likely to just be routine, unlike the last debt ceiling raise, or will there be fresh fights over that, do you think?
Well, the way it was designed, when the debt limit deal was struck back in August, when we had that very high-profile, last-minute standoff that kind of consumed the nation's attention for a little while there, the way that the deal was structured was that the president has the opportunity to ask, I believe it's three times, for a debt limit increase whenever they approach the current limit. And the way it works is that Congress has the opportunity to override that limit increase and reject it, but then the president has the opportunity to veto it. So basically, it was set up so that the president could ask for it. Congress would have the opportunity to basically express their disapproval at the need for it, but it would still ultimately be raised. And so most recently, actually just a few days ago, the president plans to put forward a request for a $1.2 trillion increase to the debt limit, which theoretically, assuming how government revenues and expenditures kind of shake out, theoretically that should get the government funding through the end of the election year and into 2013.
So in other words, they've agreed to the treatment, but they can still maybe say ouch when the shot comes.
That's pretty much how it boils down, yeah.
Okay, and what else do you see ahead for 2012 once we get past that little snafu, which is probably going to be early?
Well, I think a big issue that's going to be kind of prominent throughout the year is going to be what happens to these automatic trigger cuts that we see that are supposed to take effect at the end of the year. When the debt limit was raised, we created this super committee, which was, you know, a handful of lawmakers that were charged with coming together in a room and finding some sort of comprehensive plan to reduce the deficit. And when that super committee ultimately failed to reach an agreement, the backup plan was that these $1.2 trillion in automatic cuts would take place at the end of 2012, at the beginning of 2013. So now that the super committee has failed, these trigger cuts are kind of set to take place, but we've heard from a number of lawmakers that they aren't exactly happy with these automatic cuts, and they're going to be looking in 2012 for ways to adjust them, repeal them, replace them with something else. So I think knowing that there's a ticking clock when it comes to these automatic cuts, I think that's going to be a major issue in 2012.
And do we know yet whether the budget as presented by the president, and it comes out at the end of February generally when it's on time, will incorporate those sequestered cuts?
Well, that's an interesting question. We don't know the answer to that yet, but it's certainly possible that the president could include it. That is $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction, and as Americans continue to be concerned about the size of the budget deficit, and it's obviously an issue with a lot of political heft to it, it's certainly possible that the president would seek to include that into his budget just because it helps reduce the deficit when it comes to putting together all the numbers there.